everybody. I'm Rob Alley.
And I'm Zeke Tucker. And we are the hosts of Cinema Snack Bar.
It's the ultimate podcast for people who love movies and food. We're going to talk about the films we love and the foods that help inform them. Each week, we're going to watch a favorite movie, a bona fide classic, or an audience pick. And we're going to make or try a relevant food from that movie.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Cinema Snack Bar and visit us online at cinemasnackbar.com.
And most importantly, smash that subscribe button. Let's go, No, I'm not Jake Paul.
Let's go, family.
Episodes released bi-weekly starting March 7th. We'll see you guys then.
Get your popcorn ready.
Turn up the radio and sing along. It's time for another great song. This is the Great Song Podcast.
Season's greetings and welcome once again to the Great Song Podcast. I'm Rob Alley.
I am JP Motor.
And we're here to celebrate the greatest songs in modern music history. We're going to tell you what makes them great, why we think they're awesome, and why you should too. JP, how you doing today, man?
Man, I am doing fantastic. All right, y'all, we have a doozy of our first ever repeat artist.
That's right.
Of a song and our first ever double repeat guest.
Yes.
We have had repeat guests, but never a repeat. Dual guest.
Right.
As two guests, as we have legendary songwriters George Merrill and Shannon Rubicam of Boy Meets Girl back with us. So we covered I Want to Dance with Somebody in season 3, episode 7.
Years ago.
Literal years ago. By Whitney. And then we covered Waiting on a Star to Fall with George and Shannon in season 7, episode 2. And when the opportunity resurfaced for us to spend a few more minutes with them, we couldn't pass it this chance.
Yeah.
So this episode will be a little different for all things Whitney. If you want to go super deep on Whitney that we may not touch on today, you can go back to 307. Yeah. And for round one of George and Shannon, go to 702.
There you go.
But today we're going to cover another banger they wrote and hang out with them again to catch up on things we didn't get to cover in round one. Rob, tell them what song we're talking about and kick a little of it.
This is How Will I Know by Whitney Houston. Ready for takeoff. Took one of those inflatable guys warming up.
Yeah.
If the production doesn't have you, the first line will. So good.
Oh, yes.
Dang.
Dude, it's freaking perfect.
Dude.
It is perfection.
The girl can sing. I don't know if you are aware of this, if you've ever really thought about it.
Very good vocalist.
I got a hot take here. Whitney Houston, she could actually sing.
She could sing songs.
I know, contrary to popular belief, you know. I mean, good Lord. Every time you listen to Whitney Houston, you just go, good.
I know, right?
You know, her voice and her control and her delivery.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And her, you know, the way she interprets these lines and everything is just so perfect. It makes everything so listenable.
Yep.
That is How Will I Know from Whitney Houston's debut album, 1985's Whitney Houston, written by George Merrill and Shannon Rubicam, a.k.a. Boy Meets Girl, our guests today. Sorry, with some additional writing and arranging done by Narada Michael Walden, who we'll talk about in a few minutes as well. The song went straight to number one on the Billboard Hot 100, also the R&B / hip hop songs chart and the adult contemporary chart in 1985. It also hit number one in Canada and Iceland. Of all that, like, those were the only places other than the US that it went number one. I thought Iceland was a random choice, but okay. It went to number five in the UK. It was top 10, 5, 10, 20, 40 in, you know, a billion other places, but not number one in a whole bunch of countries. it was the number six song in the US for all of 1986, and it was on several other year-end charts as well. The 2021 David Guetta, Mr. Jam, John Newman version went to number 19 on the US Hot Dance Electronics chart and number 8 on the UK Dance, 27 on the US Singles. And the Whitney, I don't know how to say this, when a remix is done and it uses the X symbol like it's math. Right? So it's like times. Whitney X times Clean Bandit. I don't know what that is.
With?
Is it X? It's not with, or they would just say with, w. right? And it's not featuring. It's Whitney X Clean Bandit. And I don't know
how. I like Clean Bandit.
I only see it in print, so I don't, you know what I mean?
How to pronounce it.
So, you know, it sounds weird to say Whitney times Clean Bandit, you know? Maybe, so I'll just say Whitney and Clean Bandit. Yeah. That version that is from the new Whitney movie called I Want to Dance with Somebody. It went to number 23 on the Hot Dance chart and number 12 on the Canadian Adult Contemporary chart. And How Will I Know by Whitney Houston is number 520 on the Billboard all-time 600. Yay. Come on now.
It you have sits, what it's sandwiched between.
Yeah, I do. It sits between number 519, Loving You by Minnie Riperton. Okay. Some little smooth.
Loving you. Well, there it is. Minnie, thanks for stopping by.
I can't.
Almost.
Bad choice. This is between number 519, Loving You by Minnie Riperton, and number 521, Come On Dog, Here Without You by Three Doors Down.
Okay, well.
Are you serious?
I'm here without you, baby.
Gross. Gross. It is certified 2x platinum in the US.
If you'd have told me that Three Doors Down song was by Nickelback, I wouldn't have disagreed.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds so similar to a Nickelback song to me.
You know, I think the main difference is you got to listen to the lead vocal, okay. Right? If the lead vocal, it's two things. They both come from trauma, okay? These both of the Chad Kroeger and the lead singer from Three Doors Down, but their voices are both the product of trauma.
Yeah.
Chad Kroeger's is I got beat up or abused, my dad sucked. And I'm pissed about it.
Okay.
Right? And he's like, I'm going to be the toughest guy in the,
okay.
Right? The guy from Three Doors Down was, I got beat up or abused. My dad sucked.
And I'm still wounded.
I'm broken about it. Yes, I'm wounded. Yes. That's the difference.
That's
okay.
Awesome.
So, like, if Chad's like, yeah, I'm going to, nah, it's like the
it's
macho
too bad.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. Right? And then the guy from Three Doors Down is like,
sit over the corner and cry. That's good. I like that.
That's how you can mostly tell the difference between them. There is a new version of How Will I Know. That was that's going to be my favorite side trail of the day, that conversation just then. There is a new version by Boy Meets Girl on the deluxe edition of their fantastic EP 5. And it just so happens that we have a couple autographed copies of that EP to give away.
We may just give away one and keep one for ourselves. They gave us permission to that, but we'll see.
Keep up on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at Great Song Pod. Facebook, the Facebook group, Great Songs, and the great people who love them greatly. We'll be giving out the details on that. And you can hit us on Twitter as well. Not doing Twitter as much right now, but Twitter at Great Song Pod. Might throw that up there as well. But yes, we do have autographed, at least one autographed copy to give away. Possibly
we currently
two.
Have two.
Yeah. So that's going to be awesome. And you know what? If you want to support us on Patreon, your chances will be even better than the average person's to win that. So if you want to go to patreon.com/greatsongpod and throw some support that way, you can do that as well. And your chances will be even better. That is a free advertisement. Okay. But let's hear a little bit of that. You want to hear the...
Absolutely. Right. Let's hear their version. Play it.
This is the... Try to phone. How Will I Know Martini Mix. But I'm too... First thing you know is faster. And a little more clubby. There's a boy I know. He's the one I dream of. Different delivery, right? There's Shannon. different attitude.
Takes me to the clouds above.
I'm going to skip ahead to the chorus. That line gets me every time. I'm trying to fall, but I'm too shy. And the vocals come in. Can't speak. Gets me every time. So anyway, that is included on the 5 Deluxe Edition by Boy Meets Girl, which I can't recommend highly enough. I really, when we first talked to them, they were working on that record, and they sent us like some pre-masters. And since then, it's always been in regular rotation. There's a couple songs on there that are just... You know, certain songs are just a complete mood, and when you're in certain moods, only one thing will work. There's a couple of those tracks on that EP, which I've just loved in that way. All right, some listening notes from me on Whitney's version of How Will I Know. The opening synth sounds are just amazing. We were joking when we were listening about, like, you know, taking off in a spaceship. That first, like... That thing is totally unnecessary, right? But it's so cool. And of course, you get that classic, like, electric piano. It's not a full-blown synth. It's more like an electric piano type thing. You know, but so perfectly, I mean, 80s, you know, obviously. I want to talk for a minute here. I'm gonna sit here and rest for just a second. Okay. like a little bird. On the bridge and the key change.
Okay.
Because they are incredible. Let's listen to it and then we'll analyze a little bit. All right. We're coming straight out of the chorus. We'll just listen all the way through once. And then a saxophone solo. It's like, come on. It's like
my... It has everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so here's what's happening there. Let's break it down a little bit. First of all, we're in the key of G flat. Okay, 5 flats. 6 flats? How many flats are in G flat? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six flats, yeah. Six flats. We're in the key of G flat, F sharp if you're a guitarist trying to think on a piano keyboard. But if you're a keyboardist, it's G flat. What we get at the beginning of the bridge... On the He Loves Me, right? We're getting a 4/5 chord to a 1/5. So you're keeping a 5 in the bass, boom, 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 and then that space.
So that'll be a C sharp or a D flat on the bottom.
That's right? Going to be, yes, a D flat on the bottom.
On the bottom.
Uh-huh. And a B natural.
And a B or a C flat.
C flat, yes.
On the top.
Uh-huh.
And then a 1/5.
Yeah. G-flat. So G flat over D flat. Okay, so listen to that first, and then you get the guitar. Filling in the space. So we're just hitting the He Loves Me space. 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 He Loves Me Not. Right? It does that 4 times.
She's pulling the flower. You know.
Yeah. This love is strong, but I feel weak. So here we go. It's 4/5 to 1/5. And really, the instrumentally, they might just kind of be playing a 1/5 there, both. And her melody
vocal
is kind of giving it a 4/5 feel. Either way, it has the same effect. And then it's going to go to a 2 minor. And 4 thing after they do that a couple times. And the rhythm is going to drive to a bum, 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 right?
Which will be an A flat minor.
Which will be an A minor. Bum, 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 bum.
A flat minor. It's
yes, A flat minor. So, 2 minor. 4. And then. So what happens is, here's let's break down what just happened, because you might not even fully understand all the feelings you're having. So she sings the melody of How Will I Know like you would expect in that key, right?
Mm-hmm.
How will I know? It's what she's been singing the whole chorus. How will I know? But She holds it out while the key suddenly changes to E flat.
Okay.
Using the chorus chords.
So the key is in E flat.
The key is changing to E flat now.
Holy cow.
Yeah, we were going from G flat down a step and a half, down a minor third, all the way to E flat from G flat.
Yeah.
Okay. E flat major. So that would normally be
the opposite of going up a minor third, like Living on a Prayer or something like that. This one goes down a minor third,
right,
but her vocal carries it higher.
And so the note that she's singing, how will I know, is the six in the melody of the original key, but it becomes the one of the new key.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the chords of the chorus are actually starting on the, like, a 1/3, 4, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening underneath there.
So that's an E over, E flat over G.
E flat over G.
A flat.
To an A flat. Yeah. Okay. And
that's cool.
And it just kind of all happens under the hood. And, and you know, you just, you notice that it feels different. I don't know if people, a lot of people necessarily notice that it's a key change.
Mm-hmm.
It feels different, but you don't think about, I had never really thought about the fact that the rest of the song is in that key.
Yeah, it's back in E flat now.
Yeah. So
it's
like
carried out.
It never goes
key.
Back to G flat.
Yeah.
So when she comes back in and sings the chorus at the end, it's actually a step and a half lower than it was the rest of the song, which is weird. That almost never happens.
Yeah.
I can't think of another song that does that. Normally they would find a way to bring it back to the original key.
Yeah.
But nah, she's like, I'll just sing.
I'll just finish
and
it.
And I'll
out.
Just make it awesome.
He's like, just put it in whatever key you want. I'm gonna hit it.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
It's really interesting.
Finish
so
it out. Let me hear a little bit of that chorus in that key.
And you'll listen. So listen to this melodically, the six of the original key becomes the one of the new key. And
that
that's kind of mentally how you can connect the two, you know, melodically, even if technically you don't know what I'm talking about.
And the six is normally minor in the original key.
Sure. So, yes, if you were going to a six chord, you would go to an E-flat minor chord.
Yeah.
So it's going to an E-flat major that even if you were going to play an E-flat chord, yeah, you're right. So you're establishing the new key as E-flat definitely is by playing it as an E-flat chord.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, one more time. So here's the.
If he loves me, if he loves me not, if he loves me.
So the note we're looking for is this one in just a minute, okay? That's gonna be the six. That's gonna become the new key. Here we go. We're gonna drive it over the two minor to the four.
If he loves me not,
five to the new one. Isn't that crazy?
It's awesome.
And then we got another sax solo, and she's going to come back and chorus out in the new key.
It doesn't feel that different.
It's no.
How does it not feel different? It should.
I think the vocals, the vocal stack and the BGVs and everything are so thick and so great that it doesn't lose anything, and it should it should lose something to go down that far, but you don't even notice because she delivers with the same intensity and same power, and the BGVs are doing such a great job. And I don't know, I haven't listened closely enough to see if they stack differently as far as parts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If there's maybe higher parts in the stack to make up for the fact that it's dropped down in key, I don't know. But anyway, it's very cool. And it's like, it doesn't miss anything.
Yeah,
you don't
great.
Lose anything with that key change.
Well,
it's awesome.
Do you want to hear who does those stack vocal parts?
Because
I'm dying to tell you.
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
Okay.
Hey, let's meet the band. It's time to meet the band. Hey, mama, let's meet the band. Let's all meet the band.
All right, we're going to meet the band on How Will I Know, and I'll tell you that I found a note in here that I'm probably going to put towards the top because I was just so excited about it. I've been waiting to sit on this one with Rob for a while.
You've been waiting to sit on this one?
That doesn't make any sense. I've been sitting on it for a while, waiting to get... I've been just waiting to keep it pushed way down, keep it buried way down. Horrible phrasing. We talked about George and Shannon, writers as well, Narada Michael Walden. He was the drummer for Journey in 2021.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Journey's had a little rotation of drummers. They kind of
been
the Spinal Tap of drummers as of late. Whitney on lead vocals. I didn't write a whole lot of Whitney notes because I said maybe go back to season three and hear a lot on Whitney. Died 11 years ago this month.
Yeah.
February 11th, 11 years ago. I'm going to start with my favorite note. And it's one of the background vocals. Her name's Mary Canty. So this is my favorite discovery of the whole episode. So she has two background vocal credits on her Discogs. She has two.
Okay.
All right, get ready. How will I know this one? And you're gonna crap your pants. The Spirit Carries On, Dream Theater.
No,
minute 424. She's one of the stacked background vocals in the choir.
No
She's
way,
Mary freaking Candy. Go to minute 424 of The Spirit Carries On by Dream Theater. One of mine and Rob's favorite albums of all time. From
where did we?
Okay, so this is great. So go to 424, and you should be able to hear some vocals. She's not Teresa Thompson, but she's in the choir.
Wow.
High part, Mary Canty.
That's so dope.
Yeah, man.
How random.
How freaking random.
Because that was, I mean, those are 15 years apart, right? That's like 2001.
Apart. So two. You can't pick
wild.
Two more perfect for me. And I about jumped out of my chair. I literally jumped up like, are you kidding me? I said it out loud in this room.
Dude, that's wild. That's why we'll do this podcast forever.
Yeah. Stuff like that. So anyway, there you go. There's my nugget. But let's keep going because there's still good stuff on here too. Preston Glass on synthesizer.
Hold on. Preston Glass?
Preston Glass.
Like, it sounds like... You know what I mean? You have like ham on pressed glass or whatever. Pressed in glass. Pressed in glass.
Pressed in glass.
I don't know.
Right. Anyway, I get where you're coming from. Synthesizer, mainly a producer. He produced Kenny G, George Benson, Aretha. So great, great producer, killer synth player. Background vocals, I'm going to go ahead and jump to Sissy Houston, aunt of Dionne and Dee Dee Warwick. She won a Grammy in 96 for the best traditional soul gospel album with her Face to Face album, which has a gospel version of How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You. She's got a gospel version of that. So Sissy, it's nice getting the fam involved in your project.
Yeah.
On bass, Randy Jackson. Most know him from American Idol and my distaste for him on that Journey Raised on Radio album, as I'm a huge Ross Valerie fan. He is on the Richard Marx Repeat Offender album, which has Right Here Waiting, but he's not heard on that track because that's all keyboard.
All keys,
all keys. The keys covers the bass part, you can hear. And I didn't know this. He's on the Stryper Against the Law album.
Is he
really? Plays bass on that Stryper album. They do a cover of Earth, Wind, and Fire's Shining Star. So please listen to that right now.
That Shining Star, it's literally the same?
It's the same.
Okay, here it is.
See what your life can truly be.
What? Oh my!
In Stryper fashion.
I gotta hear a little of the verse.
When you wish upon a star.
Oh my gosh. Oh, but there's Randy getting in there.
Randy freaking bringing it.
When you wish upon a dream.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I did not expect to be playing a Stryper cover of Earth, Wind, and Fire, Shining Star.
Featuring Randy Jackson.
On our Whitney Houston, How Will I Know episode.
On keyboards, Yvonne Lewis. She got most of her musical time on Sesame Street as she sang background vocals, most notably on the Cookie Monsters' Me Lost Me Cookie. Also in The Wiz, also sang with Harry Belafonte, Aretha, and Luther Vandross.
That's
but
awesome.
Got to give her Me Lost Me Cookie.
Me Lost Me Cookie. Chris.
Okay, guitar. Corrado Rustici. Okay, he's in a band called Cervello that I should love because it's Italian jazz symphonic rock. And I'm like, that sounds like I would really like that. And I really want it, but I don't at all. But I do love his Charvel MIDI guitar, which he plays on this. You can tell that's a Charvel MIDI guitar. And he also plays on this little tune. And I want to hear the solo. Go to minute 255 of Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Jefferson Starship, as this is Corrado on lead guitar playing that same Charvel MIDI guitar.
Okay.
So 255. Love that song.
Yeah.
So anyway, there you go. Nice little reference there.
Excellent.
Same guy. On saxophone, great saxophone solo in here. A guy named Pramick Russell Tubbs, stuff with Sting, Elton John, James Taylor, Lady Gaga, Vince Gill, and my favorite of his credits, Kid and Play, sax player on a lot of the Kid and Play stuff.
Cool.
Engineer, Michael Barbiero, and the mixer, you guys may have heard us talk about him before, named Bill Schnee.
Bill Schnee. Heather, my notes.
Firewire synth trumpet. And he gets credit. This is one of my other favorite credits. He gets credit for the drum work on here. All synth drums, but most drums credited to Bill.
Okay, cool.
So on July 13th, 2022, we did an artist spotlight on him on our Behind the Music, Behind the Board series with Mixer Bill. But
Legend.
Yeah, legend. So he gets credit for the drum work. And cool. That makes sense if you're listening back through. You could tell it's button drums,
button drums.
There's no sticks, really. It's push button drum.
Yeah.
That's the Meet the Band section. One of my favorite Meet the Band sections that we've done in a bit.
Very cool. Very neat. Well done. Great stuff. That Dream Theater note, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that was pretty
fun.
That's
gonna be a legendary note. We should just do a supercut of like the greatest WTF
finds.
Moments in Meet the Band. That'd be great. Okay, let's see. My other note on this song is that you don't get a resolution with it. Like, the song is a question, and the question never gets an answer.
It's not like, you'll know because...
Yeah, exactly. It's not, It's In His Kiss by Cher, right? It's not that. You get, the song is addressed to the listener, right? And she says, I'm asking you because you know about these things. So it's as though Whitney's your best friend.
That's right.
Right? And she's like, she's on the phone with you in her see-through purple corded phone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I didn't know where you were going with that.
Yes. Sorry. I should have worded that a little bit differently. You know what I mean? Those like clear-ish phones that you had in, with a cord that was like 20 feet long where you could go in the closet or take it anywhere in the house.
She's still got the bow in her hair and her perfect makeup.
Yeah.
Maybe a little overboard.
And we've got the voices in the backgrounds sort of responding to the lead, acting as your proxy as a listener, saying things like, don't trust your feelings, right? And now forever I will hear those in Shannon's voice. They're like, you know. But and then we don't get... This is how you know. We don't get that question answered, you know. So it's open-ended. So I guess, thanks a lot, George and Shannon.
Leaving us with questions.
There needs to be a sequel. She should have later done a sequel, or they should have written one. This is how I knew. You know what I mean?
That's good.
This is how I knew. I think my favorite lyric in the song is at the end of the chorus, this love is strong, why do I feel weak? I love that.
That's good, yeah.
Turn around.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a good...
it's a great play on
turn
words.
Of, yeah. Turn of phrase. I believe we talked to George and Shannon about this. I can't remember if it was in this interview or the first interview that we did with him, but the song was originally intended for another artist, and I won't spoil who because I believe they're going to tell us in the interview. And we'll hear about that from them. But they had tailored it like very specifically for this other artist. Mm-hmm. But when the song got pitched to that other artist... They were trying to like shift their musical direction a little bit, but the song ended up making its way to Jerry Griffith, who was like the R&B guy at Arista Records at the time. And he thought it was exactly the pop crossover song that this new artist, Whitney Houston, needed for her debut album. And of course it was. It was exactly what she needed. It was the third single, I believe, off that album. You want to guess what number one and number two are? You want me to read you the track listing
on
her debut album?
Oh, I know those. That's,
you do? Okay.
Yeah, it's Saving All My Love For You, right?
Saving All My Love For You is number two.
Okay. Then I would, Greatest Love of All, probably.
Greatest Love of All was fourth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I don't know who the first one was.
The first one is the opening track, You Give Good Love.
Okay.
Featuring Jermaine Jackson. That'd be this one. So apparently what they were doing first was trying to establish like an R&B urban audience and then hit them with the pop single and go for the crossover. So they did this one for the like straight ahead R&B stations that they're trying to push to. And
dude, how cool is it to be the person that's discovering Whitney Houston? You're like, hey, I've got this girl. I think she's going to be pretty good.
Yes.
Let me let you hear her sing a song.
Yeah. And then also... than to be the person that is discovering the song that breaks them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because like, so I didn't know this, but You Give Good Love went to number three.
It
was a
hit.
I didn't realize that it was, You know what I mean?
If you'd have read the track list, I wouldn't have picked that one.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't have. Obviously, I just threw the couple that I knew off the top of my head.
Yeah. So, like, I didn't realize that it did that. But so then her first song went to number three, but then this one went all the way to number one.
Yeah.
So anyway, very cool. The video for this song won two MTV Video Music Awards in 1986 for Best New Artist and for Best Female Video. The album itself, the self-titled album, Whitney Houston, which we talked about before, this is the one where on the album cover, I think she looks
tried to look too old.
Yeah. It was like they were trying immediately to make her a serious artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is something that she immediately was, mm-hmm. right? She credibly was, as evidenced by stuff like You Give Good Love and
Saving All My Love for You.
Greatest Love of All. But
those are deep, like, those are mature songs.
Those are mature songs. So I don't think those songs were a mistake. Mm-hmm. But I do think that album cover was kind of a mistake. It was like they tried to make her 40 right away.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I mean?
And then they tried to retro it on the second one. They're like, let's make it as bubblegum and as neon fluorescent as we can.
Yeah, because I think she was 21 when this album came out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She was young.
Yeah.
And so I think that first album cover was like, obviously it didn't hamper the album.
She just was able to get her first drink and they're like, let's give her coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. So the album came out in 85, kind of a slow burn to the top. It didn't blow up right away.
Yeah.
But it took the number one spot on the Billboard 200 for 14 weeks in 1986. So it went, it's releasing 85 and kind of slowly crept up. 86, it gets to number one. It was the second longest run at the top for a debut album since, do you want to guess? There was another album prior to that that had gone 15 weeks in 1982 to 83.
That was a debut album.
That was a debut album, yeah.
No clue.
That would be Men at Work's Business as Usual.
Oh, there we go. All right.
Didn't know that. And it tied Carole King's Tapestry for what was then the record of number of weeks in the top 10. It was in the top 10 for 46 weeks, which at the time tied Carole King for the most ever. It was the best-selling album of all of 1986 in the United States and the number one album of the year on the 86 Billboard year-end charts, making Whitney Houston the first female artist to earn that distinction. It is 13 times platinum in the U.S. alone.
Like, that's just here.
Forget worldwide numbers. 13 times platinum here. That makes it diamond plus. It earned 4 Grammy nominations. This is interesting. 4 Grammy noms for this album in 86. Winning Best Pop Vocal Performance Female for Saving All My Love for You. Greatest Love of All was also nominated for Record of the Year in 1987. Whitney was not nominated for Best New Artist, however, because the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, that's NARAS for me and you, that's NARAS, they had a rule that anyone with any prior album credits could not be nominated. And Whitney had credits as a guest vocalist with both Jermaine Jackson and Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, man.
So there was an uproar over her non-nomination.
Just because she was a background vocalist.
Because it was like duet status. Duet stuff, you know what I mean? But the association held firm in their policy, stating the fact that her duets with these other artists had been submitted for Grammy consideration, saying that definitely makes her ineligible. Like, you can't say these songs didn't count. If they were submitted, you submitted them to us for Grammy, you know what I mean? So you weren't trying to hide these songs, and it's not like they're needles in a haystack. You made these songs plain, and so they're saying you can't, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember, actually, I think it was Richard Marx that spoke out about it. He was like, basically, that it was BS, and I think
he was probably maybe a fairly suffered new artist
the same, too. Same thing. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know, anyway, so I think he was one of the people that was calling the Academy out on that. Anyway, it was the first debut album and the first female artist to generate 3 number one Billboard Hot 100 singles. And then, of course, the lead single was You Give Good Love, and it was a surprise crossover and hit number 3 as well. So, like, just one of those massive albums. Awesome. And then she followed, you know, my theory of two legendary albums in a row makes you an all-time legend artist, and it definitely is that. You had this one and then followed up by I Want to Dance with Somebody. So, you know, just incredible. Is that the name of the second album? It was,
I think it's just called Whitney.
Whitney, you're right. Correct. You're correct, yes. So, yeah, two monster albums. I do want to talk a little bit about Narada Michael Walden, who was producer on this song. He produced, I don't know if he produced the entire album, but he produced a lot of it. And then he kind of tinkered with the song and the arrangement a little bit. I think he changed a couple lyrics maybe. And I know he slowed down the tempo from the original and worked on some production. But he was also, in addition to being a well-known producer, he had been a drummer known for playing jazz fusion, R&B. He also worked with Aretha. This is on production level with Aretha Franklin and Mariah Carey. He produced George Benson, Kenny G, Herbie Hancock, and more. As you said, he briefly replaced Steve Smith in Journey in 2020 and departed with the return of Dean Castronovo. He has won 3 Grammys, including one for his production on the Bodyguard soundtrack. So, yeah, like, stuck with Whitney for a while. Yeah. And he had several R&B and dance hits of his own, including I Shoulda Loved Ya, which hit number 4 on the U.S. R&B chart, and Divine Emotions, which went to number 1 on the U.S. dance chart. Let's see here.
I feel like I should know that since it went to number 1. I'm not a big dance guy, but I feel like anything that hits number 1, I should at least know what it is.
Yeah, but it's those, those club side stuff. Charts. Yeah, yeah, dance charts. I'm like, I don't even pretend to know what was number 1 on dance charts. Forget that. But you're right. You would think I would at least be, able to recall
Divine Emotions.
That song.
Let me sing it. Right?
Yeah, but no. Let's see. This song, How Will I Know, bumped Dionne Warwick's That's What Friends Are For from number 1. So she bumped her own cousin from number 1. And it was bumped from number 1, this kind of surprised me, by Kyrie by Mr. Mister.
Really?
Yeah. Couple of notable covers. There's an a cappella version on the 25th anniversary of the album. And let's check that out here.
There's a boy I know. He's the one I dream of.
What a great vocal effect, too.
I know, right?
Looks into my eyes, takes me to the clouds above.
Mm-hmm. You can hear the click in there a little bit. Her track she's listening to.
Can't seem to get enough. When I wake from dreaming,
that's awesome.
Tell me,
I know, right?
Is it really love? How will I know?
Don't trust your feelings.
How will I
know? You get all the BGVs,
dude,
and
that's
everything.
So good.
Yeah. How Let's get to the chorus because I have a note.
They changed the effect there.
With every heartbeat,
chorus.
I fall in love whenever we meet. I'm asking you because you know about
me. Oh, I never heard the low part there on the stack.
This is exactly
Dude,
what my
what
note is.
In the world? Where did that come from?
I have 2 notes on the acapella
That's
version.
That's got to be Sissy, right?
One, and you noticed them both instantly.
Dude,
okay.
Yeah.
So one is that I never caught this in the original, but the BGVs on the chorus are singing what would be melodically the 2 over the 4 chord. They're going, how will I know?
Yep.
Which would be the 2 over that 4 chord. And if I was producing, I don't think I would have had the nerve to let that slide.
Uh-uh.
Right? Like, it I would have been like, no, the correct thing to do would be to stay
not,
on the 1.
It's not right.
How will I know?
Yep.
And make it more of like a blocky, stronger 4 chord. But that's why I'm podcasting.
I wonder if they wrote that way, or if they just like, if they're just like, sing what you would think of the harmony part was.
Right, yeah.
And they're like, this feels like how I would do it in church.
Yeah, they probably, feel it out.
Feel
and
it out.
You know, got a little more, maybe a little more soul to it, a little more natural, and it's moving with the melody.
Yeah.
So the melody, how will I know? Mm-hmm. What you're actually getting over that chord is a minor 2 chord over the 4.
Okay.
That's what it really...
not horrible.
It works. No, no. It's like you're getting like a 4 add 13 mm-hmm. chord or an add 6 chord. So it's cool. But like if it's me in the booth, I think I'm going to be like, no, let's do a How Will I Know? And then that's why I'm hosting a podcast instead of swimming in a pool of gold coins like Scrooge McDuck, you know? my other note is, and you caught this too, that there is doubling on her voice in some of the bare spots in this that's not there on the original recording. And I think that is to hide the fact that in the original, she's a little sharp on a couple spots.
Really?
There, let's go back and listen to the second pre-chorus in particular.
Okay.
I can take you to it.
Yes, you think she's doubled it or they just chorused it?
I think they it's one or the other. I'm not sure. They either put a heavy chorus or just straight up double. Yeah. But let's go to the second pre-chorus.
Love. Ooh, tell me
No.
You hear me there? That's sharp.
Hit it again.
Hit it again.
Maybe it's just because I've heard it that way my whole life.
Yeah. It doesn't sound bad. It's one of those things.
It's
like,
just slide.
It just is the song, you know, but she's sharp.
Tell me, how will I know?
That's sharp, homie. That's sharp. Now, they could have just auto-tuned it, but I think what they do is chose to keep her natural take, and they added a second thing so that it doesn't sound, you know, you don't notice
it
when it's bare.
That's fun.
I'm so impressed that you caught both of those instantly.
That's awesome.
You knew what I was talking about. That's great.
Well, let's stump the genius.
Oh, yeah, before we kick it,
we'll do a little Whitney trivia. Let's go.
Stump the genius. Stump the genius. Stump the genius. It's time to stump the genius.
All right, let's do a little Whitney trivia.
Let's go
Whitney Houston trivia.
Oh gosh,
I should have looked these over. Okay, all right.
I gotta say, for season 11, I'm changing my standard.
Okay. No 80%.
I'm not holding myself to the 80% standard for season 11. I'm going 85.
Oh, he's raising the bar. I did not see that one coming. Okay, number one. Who did Sissy Houston's Whitney's mom?
Yes.
Not sing background vocals with.
Okay.
Okay, she sang background vocals with a lot of people. Jimi Hendrix.
Okay.
Elvis. Van Morrison. The Who.
Hmm.
Who did she not sing background vocals with?
Okay, Hendrix.
Hendrix.
Okay, all of those are American except
Elvis.
For one. So I'm going with the UK band. I'm going with The Who.
The Who is correct. Good job. She actually sang background vocals on Brown Eyed Girl.
Did she really?
Yeah, she's one of the ones in
there.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Dang.
So I have not verified that fact, but I saw that on there. So asterisk, not verified, but heard that. Whitney was the first woman of color to appear on what magazine? 17, Vogue, Cosmopolitan, Men's Health.
Ooh, my gut said Vogue.
17, Vogue, Cosmopolitan, Men's Health.
Wow, Men's Health? That doesn't sound right.
I'm going to
go with Cosmopolitan. I'm going to go with Cosmo against my gut.
It's 17.
It's 17. Well, yeah, okay. So, wow.
Okay.
I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. I should have, but okay.
That's okay.
All right.
Okay. So who won the 1991 Super Bowl where Whitney sang the Star Spangled Banner? I'll give you four choices. Bills, Giants, Cowboys, Broncos.
Okay. So I would not be a football fan at all if I said the Bills.
Okay.
Right? You can't just be like, oh, yeah, it was the Bills.
I'll give you a hint. Do you know which of those teams beat the Bills?
It's got to be 91. 90. No, wait. What are the other choices? Cowboys?
Giants, Cowboys.
Okay.
Broncos.
Okay. Yeah, so that's going to be is that the Phil Simms Giants?
That's the Jeff Hostetler Giants.
Whoa.
But you got it. Yeah,
wow.
It was the year after Phil Simms. OJ.
Okay.
That was the Scott Norwood missed field goal wide right.
Okay.
One. Have you seen the jerseys that are made now? It's Norwood and it's all his jersey. His
to the
name
right?
is on the right shoulder.
Oh, that's
hilarious.
Not cool.
Freaking love that. Where was Whitney born? Cali, Florida, New Jersey, Idaho.
Not Idaho.
Another one I needed a fourth on.
And not Florida.
You're
it's Cali or New Jersey. Yeah. I think New Jersey.
New Jersey. There we go. Jersey girl. Come on, Belle.
Our Belle
has seen better days. All right. Oh, man. I forgot about this question.
Okay.
You might need to write these down.
Okay. All right. I got you.
Let's write these down. So you got a note here?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to put these five Whitney acting roles in order.
Okay.
Chronologically.
Okay. All right.
All right. I wrote them chronologically, so I got to mix them up, so I'm not too easy on that.
All right.
The Bodyguard. Okay. Preacher's Wife.
Okay.
Sparkle.
Okay.
Waiting to Exhale.
Okay.
As the World Turns.
Ooh. Okay. All right. I'm going to go first. I'm going to say chronologically. One.
Yes.
As the World Turns.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, yeah.
Boy,
okay.
We're starting off good.
All right. Two, Bodyguard.
Yes, dude. Yes. Awesome.
The only one I don't know about is Sparkle.
Okay.
I don't know where Sparkle was, so I'm going to guess here, and I'm going to give you my next three, and you just tell me if I'm right or wrong. I'm going to go next, Waiting to Exhale, then Preacher's Wife, then Sparkle.
You were real close. Mm. Preacher's Wife was in front of Waiting to Exhale, but other than that, you got it.
Was it really?
Yeah, by 1 year. So wow. It goes, As the World Turns, 84, Bodyguard, 92, Preacher's Wife, 96, Waiting to Exhale, 97, Sparkle, 2012.
What is Sparkle?
I have no idea. So I don't know what it is.
Now, here's what we all know about the perceived, whether it was real or not, the perceived rivalry between Whitney and Mariah. Right.
Sure.
And they made a thing out of it on the VMAs when they like came out and presented an award together, blah, blah, blah. Might have even been wearing the same outfit. I think they like really leaned into people assume that they hated each other, you know. But did Whitney have a movie called Sparkle before Mariah had a movie called Glitter?
Ooh, I don't know. Let's look that up. I'll look up Glitter. Okay. You look up Sparkle. I know Sparkle was 2012.
Okay.
So that's funny. As we go, this is an exhilarating podcast here as we look up on our phones.
That's right.
That's really funny. I didn't even think of that. 2001 is Glitter. So,
okay.
So Mariah wins that battle by a landslide.
Then I do not know what Sparkle is at all. 2012 musical drama. Girl groups and the Motown sound are sweeping the nation despite their mother's, Whitney Houston, misgivings. Talented sisters Dolores, Sister, and Sparkle are taking Detroit by storm, and their dreams are even bigger. Their ambitious manager will do whatever it takes to make the big time, even if it means exploiting the sisters and his love for Sparkle for the foundation of a new musical empire.
If there's a good food in that, I'm sure it will be covered on a new podcast, Cinema Snack Bar.
That's right.
My good buddy Rob is hosting with Zeke Tucker. Y'all make sure to subscribe to that and check it out.
Go to cinemasnackbar.com and subscribe on all your favorite things.
Little plug for you there.
Starring Jordan Sparks as Sparkle.
Oh, well, there you go.
How about that?
Man, that's some powerhouse vocals there.
Wow. Jordan.
All right. Anyway.
Wow.
Man, this video has got 534,000 likes on YouTube. That's my last note.
That's pretty solid. My only one other note was one more cover, and that would be by Sam Smith.
Okay.
With a very different tone.
Of him?
For the song, what you think of this song.
All I think of Sam Smith is Stay With Me. Like, that's how I just hear his voice.
And then a lyric change.
Okay.
How
will she know? How will...
Not with Sam Smith.
Not with... You're right.
Not
Thank
for Sam.
You. Thank you for helping me with that.
Yep. So it's a change in tone for the song and a change in perspective for the song. But you hear it... I heard it and I went, oh, I'm going to like this.
Oh, it's you, I know, you're the one I dream of.
So it's a one-on-one.
To the listener, yeah, that's good. Oh, I like that approach.
Look into
my eyes, take me to the clouds above.
Skips the pre-chorus, I think.
How will I know? I say a prayer with every heartbeat. I fall in love whenever we meet. I'm asking you what you know about these things. How will
He's a vocalist that is not really my style. I'm not super crazy, but he can freaking sing.
Yeah.
Dude, he's a great vocalist.
Yes. And it just occurred to me, I think, that Sam Smith uses they pronouns. So if we've been mispronouncing Sam Smith, forgive us.
Yeah.
We're not used to that.
Unintentional.
Yeah, unintentional. No offense intended. Anyway, but I love that version. I thought it was cool.
It was good.
Very different. Not what I expect. I mean, when I saw Sam Smith, I knew it was not going to be what I expected from the song. I knew it was going to be something different, but I was like, oh, this is really good.
That's good.
I like that
a lot. That's a neat take.
Yeah. So,
smart approach.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we're just getting started. You're about to jump into the fun part of this thing, which is hanging out with George and Shannon.
Yes.
They are great.
Yes.
So we're glad to be back with them.
Anytime. We should just have them on once a year.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Probably.
They're awesome. And keep listening. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Great Song Pod. Be part of the Facebook group, Great Songs and the People Who Love Great Songs and the Great People Who Love Them Greatly. And support us on Patreon, patreon.com/greatsongpod, and you can have an even better chance of winning at least one of our autographed 5 EP vinyls from George and Shannon of Boy Meets Girl. And man, big ups to them for coming back on and being part of the show. They're just super fun and seem to really have a good time, yeah, you know, with us. So they've been great. Can't wait to see you guys on the other side.
Thanks to Ben and Olaf for hooking us back up with them, their people.
Yeah,
so thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, so we'll be back to tuck you in at the very end. But first, let's go talk to George and Shannon.
This is the Great Song Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, we are here once again in their entirety Meets Girl. They came back for round two. We had so much fun the first time around. George and Shannon, thank you so much for joining us again on the Great Song Podcast.
Well, it's a testament to the amount of fun we had also.
Well, that's great. The what the listeners don't know, because it's audio only, but this time we actually get to see them while we're chatting.
Yeah.
So we're using the World Wide Web to help via Zoom. So this is nice getting to see the people that we're blasting these zingers of questions at.
So let's play a little catch up at first. Since the first time that we talked, you guys were just on the verge of releasing the 5 EP. It was still in mixing mastering stage, I think, at that point. And so you were just finished it. I mean, we've both played it a ton. I've just loved that record. I've played it over and over and over. I've had friends who played Everything New at their wedding reception. It's just a great collection of songs. How have you guys found the reception of the album to be? Have you been happy with it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it worked out very much like we'd hoped. It's just this other time for us where we're feeling excited about life. We're excited about the music that we're coming up with. It's a brighter expression right now. And so it seems like people are responding in that way. I'm glad we seem to be touching a nerve that way. So it's good.
Well, and I think one of the ways we know now is, you know, of course, streaming numbers. So our the person, Olaf, who's assisting us, sends us numbers, you know, and they look good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge thanks to Olaf and Ben for syncing us back up together. We talked to Olaf. He's a good dude. So we're thankful.
He's great.
He's communicating with you as well as us. Shannon, we didn't talk about your novel, The Wonderground, last time, which is the name of your 2003 album. I know nothing about the novel. I didn't do that much research, but Climbing, track 3 off of that, is awesome. The layered vocals are fantastic, and you should pitch Make It Up to the 1991 version of Paula Abdul's Spellbound album, because it would follow Rush Rush perfectly. So,
that's great.
There's a quick follow up for you guys.
But do tell us about The Wonderground. I'd love to know.
Yeah.
Well, regarding the novel, I'll just address that. I wrote it and then I felt like, you know, it was a personal exercise and I thought I would publish it, and briefly it was out there and then I took it back. I didn't do the proper editing that I needed to do on it. And so I wasn't something I felt proud to present all in all. Yeah. So I quickly thought, didn't do the work. So I removed it.
That's a lesson for all y'all out there, like, to be proud of what you put. Like, that takes guts to pull it back.
Yeah,
like, that takes restraint. So I'll give you that as a compliment, where some people might, I think that takes
some
restraint.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it took guts to write it and guts to take it back.
Yeah, both.
For sure.
So Good Exchange, first song y'all wrote together. We mentioned it in the last interview, but we really didn't dig in on there. We kind of brushed past it. Talk a little bit about Good Exchange, how that that first writing session kind of came about.
Good Exchange. Well, that takes us back to the very beginning with our band Sparrow at the time. And we were renting a house, no furniture, but there was a piano.
Important stuff was
and
there.
Sleeping bags. I think we just had sleeping bags. I don't know.
Yeah. And minimalist.
Yeah. And you know, just went to the gig and came back, and you know, to go food, that sort of thing. Anyway, Shannon plopped a page of lyrics in front of me, and it was so obvious where this song should go. I came up with the music for it. Actually, Shannon, I think Shannon had heard me playing the piano.
I heard him. Yeah. I was in the other end of the house or out on the patio or something, and I heard him playing this music, and I thought, I just wrote those lyrics last night. So, and we had never written a song together. I don't know why I didn't occur to us, but it just didn't. And so I ran in there with my lyrics book and put them in front of George. And I loved the chords and that groove he was using. So I just started singing along, reading my lyrics, and this song popped up. And
That was awesome.
It was.
It was.
And it really indicated how our writing was going to go going forward, because it's been really intuitive. It always is. And it makes it, not that each song is easy to write, but it makes the writing process easy. And we can talk over our differences of, no, I think it should be this way or that way. And we edit each other. But it, you know, it foretold that this was going to be fun.
Yeah.
And a good exchange. I mean, that was the part of it that was just kind of goofy, you know. Yeah.
It's a great title for what the way it went down. That's awesome.
I know.
How long did it take you guys to, you know, I know as a songwriting team, it takes some time to really build trust. Where you can say it's safe to bring your idea to the table, and then B, it's also safe to be like, that's great, but I think maybe we should do something differently, you know, to be able to like safely criticize and receive critique, and also to present these vulnerable ideas. How long did that take for you guys?
Well, I can speak to that in a way that, I was writing songs prior to us getting together. I was writing with another fella. He and I started writing songs in the fifth grade school.
Okay.
And we were a band called Village Sunshine. And the very first song was called The Village Sunshine. Then came the village sunshine, and made your life worthwhile.
You know, it's a memorable melody if it sticks with since the fifth grade.
Yeah.
I'm like, fifth grade, I was like, I think I had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles t-shirt. That's about all I remember. That's awesome.
I know. It still comes back. So he and I, we had started the exchange, you know, as far as an exchange of ideas back then as young pups. And as we were doing that, there were things that I found that didn't work for me with the way our process was, and I couldn't voice it as a young kid. And it was just one of those things when Shannon plopped those lyrics down, and the two of us, our communication right away was on another level between us, as far as it wasn't as emotionally fraught. Is that what you're going to say? Yeah. It wasn't. It was just, we were just trying to make a good song, you know, right off the, in fact, I think I can say that from the very start. And so as much as we both have our suitcases, we weren't carrying them into the songwriting room at that point. So I think it was pretty natural how it all happened, really. I don't think we, you know, went to therapy over it or anything.
That's great.
No, in fact, you know, referring back to the Wonderground album, it was our therapy. Because the Wonderground was written and recorded while we were going through separation and divorce, which, you know, is a fraught and disruptive process. And painful, but that was our therapy, was just writing our way through it, making ourselves show up at the studio, making ourselves communicate as clearly as we could, or just, you know, put a lid on it for a moment and get through it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a great way to say that. Making ourselves show up.
Yeah. Like that's well done.
I think if we could all kind of get a tattoo of that, actually, if we could just be like, make yourself show up today.
Show up. That's good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Your first album came out in 85. So let's just talk about something that I somehow glossed over when doing my research last time, but I sure as heck caught this time. There's a little song on there that is amazing called In Your Eyes. And let's talk about how I didn't do the math in my head the first time. But there was another song that charted pretty well about a year later by a guy you may have heard of called Peter Gabriel, with a song called In Your Eyes. Were you like, wait a minute, did you get some inspiration from us for this?
Wow.
If that ever crossed my mind, did it yours, George?
No, it didn't. But I'd say he really outdid us, though. that song in his In Your Eyes is it's incredible.
But he can't touch your casual smoking in the Old Girl video. That ain't happening. y'all take the cake with the casual smoking there. So you run away.
I love the attention to detail, man. Like that video is, to me, that's a classic. I love taking that video apart, seeing me like walk over to the edge of the cliff, and I kick a little rock, you know, to make it look like I'm really close to the edge, but I'm not, you know, stuff like that.
Danger.
Yeah, danger.
I know. That was such an 80s attitude video, No Girl videos.
It was so much fun.
I love, we've kind of lost the art of like the overly serious video, you know? There were some great ones back in the day.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So last time we talked, we focused a lot on I Want to Dance with Somebody and Waiting for a Star to Fall, and we're definitely going to talk about the I Want to Dance with Somebody movie. But we didn't really get into one of the other mega hits that you wrote for Whitney Houston, and that would be How Will I Know. Can you give us kind of the backstory on that song or any stories about it that you would like to share that you think our audience would like to hear?
Well, there are a couple of them. I think it's probably known now because we've done a number of interviews, but we did originally write that by request of our new publishing company at the time for Janet Jackson. But she was doing her Control album, which is very conceptual album and very good. So that wouldn't have really worked for her. But consequently, it had a very kind of airy, light vocal on it because we were trying to do, you know, match what she'd done in the past with her vocal. But anyway, then it went through all that circuitous route and ended up in Clive Davis's hands. And he liked it for this young new artist he was looking for songs for, which was Whitney Houston. Of course, nobody knew who she was at the time, but we're so fortunate it landed there. And then he sent the song on to Narda Michael Walden, who did a little more. He added an extra musical part in keeping with the other music and said, can you write some additional lyrics for this? So he played it over the phone. We heard it and wrote the lyrics and sent those to him. And he went, great, they're perfect. So he did this, you know, pumped up production on the song.
Yeah.
Really just so good. And we heard it. Some friends of ours worked in Narda's studio at the time. They called us up on the phone one day and said, we knew them from Seattle, but you know, they called us up from Narda's studio in San Rafael, California, and said, you guys got to hear this. We just finished a rough mix of Whitney's vocal on your song. And so we held the phone out and played it. And I mean, who could ever expect you're going to hear that, you know?
Well, and that was the vocal that we heard that night over the phone was the vocal that everybody knows and loves, right?
Yeah.
So it was, but this was a rough mix at the end of the day. Wow. So it's like, it was just the most amazing thing to hear.
That's,
you know, and be part of that whole run. As a matter of fact, I was thinking the other day about it too. What attracted Clive Davis to that song? And I bet it was the lyric. I bet it was How Will I Know? Because he was working with this 19-year-old. He saw her as a superstar, he could see. But he was thinking about who her audience, who she was going to be singing to.
Yeah.
It's going to be young kids going through all those throes of early love and all those different things. And I think it was the lyric. I think the melody.
Well, you underscored each word with a chord. You know,
how will I know?
So it made it stand out.
Oh, here we go. Last time he did a Brad song.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Dude, well done. Well played, George. Well played then. Well played.
Thank you. I worked really hard at that one.
Well played now. So follow up. I'm going to tell y'all, I kind of thought that was the angle that we were going to talk about. So I have a follow up that I had pre-planned that landed perfectly. So Stay Forever is the song for that Janet Jackson Control album. That's the one that should have followed What Have You Done For Me Lately. If you pitch Stay Forever and you substitute electric guitar synth lines instead of that electric guitar line. That's the Janet Jackson song that follows What Have You Done For Me Lately? It's Stay Forever.
Oh, that's a fun thought.
Totally could hear that. In fact, she would have nailed that verse.
Yeah, yeah.
Had a vision for you before you came.
And there we go.
And then her, you know, dancing.
Man, I wish our listeners could see Shannon nailing the Janet Jackson arms.
Getting the groove on.
With the hat.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was a good look.
I would love to.
I can't do any of the other moves because I need a chiropractor after that.
I would love to know if you guys have what I'm going to call an almost story of, you know, that we might not know about yet, of a song of yours that you thought up until the last second was going on somebody's record, or, you know, or that something was happening with that ended up not happening, an almost story in that way.
Hmm. Well, I mean, Waiting for a Star to Fall in a way.
Sure.
Because we just totally figured, well, that was just divine how Shannon got the idea for that. It's got to be for Whitney Houston.
Right.
So we just made an assumption on that one that, yeah, in the bag, but not to be.
I can't hear anybody other than y'all singing it, though, like in my head. Yeah. Like, that's y'all's song. That will forever, I don't know why I had trouble saying that there, but that will forever be y'all's song for me.
Now, if I'm recalling correctly, we did hear it got into the demo phase at least with Belinda Carlisle.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep, we heard that one. Yeah.
But,
right.
Yeah.
But and we couldn't remember exactly how that happened, but, you know, publishing companies take your music around and send it, and people get request songs from so-and-so. And so you don't really know where it's going, but it did end up with her briefly. And then it was going to end up with Robert Palmer. Mm-hmm. He had a hold on the song, but Arif Mardin, who decided he wanted to produce Waiting for a Star to Fall with us, said, well, I know Robert Palmer, and I will give him a call and tell him that we would like to do it. So he took care of that whole thing.
Wow. How about that?
I didn't know that one.
Yeah. Some sort of a backroom deal was made.
So instead of an almost, it was an almost not, really.
Right. Yeah. That's good. Oh, I like that.
Wow.
That's good. Yeah. I like that story.
I love Robert Palmer, but I would never dream of wanting to be deprived of the Boy Meets Girl version.
Absolutely. Like, same. I mean, yes.
George pretty much killed it. I love that song.
The first album, we talked about Michael Yoakam on drums. I didn't realize that he played with Korn. There's nothing more like opposite Boy Meets Girl than Korn.
He's a studio one of the hottest studio drummers of the in that middle 80s era. He was one of the first calls, and I remember I saw him playing with you guys on that era with Korn.
Yeah, I saw him playing with you guys on American Bandstand. I was like, holy cow, that's him. And you like introduced him. I'm like, what in the world? That's Korn's drummer. What's he doing up there with those guys?
That's crazy. Well, and you know, Tom Werman, who produced our first album, was the Motley Crue producer. Some of those other, you know, metal bands and things. So,
yeah, I'm so glad you touched on that because you mentioned him, like the producer of Motley Crue. And I think that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm so glad you said that. Paul Jackson Jr. on guitar. I mean, come on.
We had the good fortune to, a good buddy of ours from Seattle had moved down to LA and started a recording studio. And he immediately learned the whole process of calling up a contractor, and you could get anybody you wanted to come play on your record for a price, of course. Sure. But you know, so we did these wonderful sessions with him. We one of our early demos before we finally had interest from A&M. We did a demo, and we had Trissom Bowden and George Hawkins, the bottom end drummer and bass player for Kenny Loggins' band.
Yeah, Kenny Loggins' guys. Mm-hmm.
We had Waddy Wachtel playing guitar.
And we had... That's so crazy. We were just looking up Waddy's stuff that he was on something.
We had Waddy played.
He's so good.
And then we had Jay Graydon playing guitar.
Yeah.
And this is all post-Asia and everything like that. And he's in it, and he does all this beautiful layered doubled and tripled guitar stuff on these demos. It's just, and we're going to, at some point going forward, we're going to go back in the archives and start releasing some of these just to share with people, probably on our website, just for grins, you know, because we have to
hope some of that survived, because none of us really know where the 2-inch tape is anymore. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, me and Rob I went deep on Waddy Wachtel stuff the other day because we were talking about The Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks, and Rob was like, who plays guitar on that? I was like, I don't know. I should know. And I was like, oh, it's Waddy. And so I was like, man, he's played on so much stuff.
Yeah, and he's got that identifiable sound. It's just his guitar and his amp, I guess, and you know, the way he plays it. But yeah, he's great.
Well, and I think our early Boy Meets Girl identity, I think we were keying on bands like Missing Persons.
Yeah.
We thought they were the, you know, we just loved them. They were a duo as well, you know, Dale and Tony Bozzio, I think it was. Anyway.
Ooh, good memory.
And you know, keying on what Pat Benatar was doing, you know, with Neil Giraldo and stuff.
I totally see that, because like that's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think there was we were seeing our sound as a little bit more, you know, electric guitar driving, you know, and we weren't really looking back in the mirror. I think when we got our first deal with A&M, I think they were looking at us because of the Carpenters, and we were kind of coming in post Carpenters. I think they were hoping that we might
be a little more pop than rock.
Yeah, and I can do the whole "We've Only Just Begun," but I don't. That's not really, you know. That's not really. We tend to want to.
I bet y'all could kill kind of a superstar. I could say, "Don't you remember? You told me you loved me." I see y'all freaking bringing that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I watched a documentary on the Carpenters a couple of weeks ago, actually, and you know, was amazed all over again at the breadth of their work.
Oh yeah.
How many hits they had, and then there she is playing drums and singing. Yeah.
You know? Oh yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. The lead singer. Exactly. And and all those gorgeous harmonies. We used to sit down and take those apart in our early days, just trying to figure out, you know, how they got that sound, as far as layering and all that stuff. And that became, so some of those things we learned became part of the Boy Meets Girl sound, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, as we record now, we are days away. By the time the episode releases, it will have come out. But as we record, we are days away from the much anticipated Whitney Houston biopic named after your song, "I Want to Dance with Somebody." And so I got to know, you know, at what level have you guys been involved or getting to preview any of this, you know, movie, and have you enjoyed what you've seen so far?
We've seen what everybody else has seen. We haven't had a preview or anything. Okay. The trailers, though, look amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, they look beautifully produced. And I've read some wonderful interviews with and articles about Naomi Aki. Mm-hmm. And she certainly had the world on her shoulders, you know, taking that role on. And but I hear that she did really well with it. So I'm excited to see it.
Yeah. Before we saw any previews, I remember hearing all about the process as it was building last year. You know, the first things we heard when we heard that they were going to use the working title, "I Want to Dance with Somebody." You know? Okay, one of those things that we've learned as songwriters, you don't own that right off the bat. You just kind of go, "Okay, sure, sure it is." Working title,
they'll change.
You know, but. You know, down at my movie theater, there's a "Coming Soon," and it says, "I Want to Dance with." I'm buying into it now. I think it's going to be called "I Want to Dance with Somebody."
Yeah.
So it's been fun to watch. It's just been this whole progression, and you know, I was thinking the same thing that Shannon mentioned. Those were big boots, you know, Naomi put on to say yes and take that on. And it sounds like, from everybody's, you know, feelings about the movie, what we're hearing, sounds really, really positive. So
they got the script writer for who did Bohemian Rhapsody, and I thought he did a great job on that. So once I heard that, I thought, okay, this is really cool. They're you know, carefully choosing who's involved in it. So yeah. I think it bodes well.
So I guess
they were all about making it about the music is what we were told from the beginning. We'll see how it all ended up in, you know, in the movie. But that seems like the way to go with Whitney's story is really, because come on, what a body of songs, you know.
Yeah. So I guess the real question is who's going to play George in the
sequel.
In the sequel. Yeah, in the
prequel.
Or the Boy Meets Girl biopic. Yeah, who's going to
Well, as Glenn Campbell so sweetly said in the documentary about him, that the guy who a friend of his who was going to make the documentary said, I'm thinking about making a documentary about you, and Glenn, who was slipping into dementia at that time, sadly, but he so humorously said, well, I think I'll play me.
That's good.
Hope you love that.
I'm thinking Denzel Washington. It's kind of for you there, George. Yeah. I've never heard of
High praise. High praise. Bishop's wife. Yeah that's good.
There you go.
Nice one.
Well, tell us what is on the horizon for you guys, for Boy Meets Girl. What can we be expecting in 2023 and beyond?
Well, we're going to leave 2022 with our vinyl version of our last year's digital release, but the vinyl includes some remixes and also a fun version that we made of How Will I Know.
Yeah.
So we'll send you guys some copies to give away.
Looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And George's wife, Roz, did the artwork.
Looks good.
It looks great.
Yeah.
Liner notes, man. Credits.
Yeah. Real live liner notes.
We love that stuff.
Yeah. That's what we live for.
So that's our farewell to 2022. And we've redone our website.
It looks phenomenal. It looks so good.
Thank you.
So that's a reflection of where we're headed for 2023 is we're just going to lighten up, do some fun things, take off where we left off with the five music. And, I just revisit some happy realms because God knows the world needs it right now.
Absolutely.
And personally, you know, that's what we want to express.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, George, we're going to start a Bread cover band, right? That's what you have planned for 2023 is we're starting a Bread cover band, right?
I'm up for it.
Let's do it. Here we go. Let's do this thing.
You're the only one I care enough to hurt
about. There he is, Shannon coming
in. Always be a staying beside me.
It wouldn't be a Boy Meets Girl and Great Song Podcast episode if we didn't do a little Bread music. So thank you for that.
I love it. Bread.
This has been fun. We used our gas station snack food question last time. Yeah. So I know I wrote down y'all's answers so I wouldn't forget them. Shannon, I know if you went water and corn nuts and Snickers with plenty. George, she said you would scratch your chin for a while and then go bag of potato chips. So I guess
still accurate. Okay. Actually,
nothing's changed. There we go. So our listeners know, they're still the same. Same folks as they were last. That's good.
Yeah. So well, it's been such a treat to have you guys on again. And hopefully, I mean, let's just do this once every year or so.
Yeah, we'll just make it a couple annual check in. See how things.
We'll do it. We'll hustle some new music out. We'll talk to you soon.
We're so excited.
We'll go live some life, have something to talk about.
There you
guys do the same thing.
Thank you guys so much.
Guys. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Rob.
I agree.
This is great.
Talk to you guys
soon. Thank you guys.
This is the Great Song Podcast.
And that was George and Shannon, a.k.a. Boy Meets Girl, a.k.a. the writers of some of the literal greatest songs in pop music history.
Yeah.
You want to just give me, if you said you can listen to three pop songs for the rest of your life, and all pop music otherwise is erased from your memory, you could make a case for it just being their biggest three hits.
Yeah.
You could make Waiting for a Star to Fall, How Will I Know, and I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Yeah.
You could make a case for just give me those and you can have everything else, right?
Yeah.
That, I mean, come on. So cool to have them on again, and we wish them all the best. Can't wait to hear new music from them. I will forever be big Boy Meets Girl fan, and I know you will as well. So Season 11 rolls along.
Dude, we're just getting started.
And
we got a good season, guys.
We do.
This we say that a lot, but this one's, we got stuff in the can that we're just excited.
Thankfully, you continue to believe us and follow along on the journey. And we're so grateful for every single listen, every single download, no matter what your platform is of choice. We're grateful to have you, and we're thankful for your support on every single level. So thank you for telling people about the show, sharing the show, anything you can do to help us, you know, continue to get to do what we do and chase this hobby and this dream and whatever this is, the side hustle, the gig, whatever this is in the economy. Thank you guys so much. And it'll be our pleasure to be back with you next week with another great song. Until then, I'm Rob.
I'm JP.
Go listen to some music.